Good evening, folks. This is Radio Edgy Talk. My name's John Johnson. I'm in Glasgow in the west of Scotland. I'm joined, as usual, by David Noble, who tonight, I think, is in Hillside.
In Aberdour, yeah, at Hillside School.
Hillside School. And tonight our guest is Moira Stalker.
Yep, that's right.
And you're here to tell us a wee bit about food in the... A future in food, I was going to say.
That's
food,
right.
Food in the future there. We could maybe do some of that as well. It's quite an interesting topic and a different one from us. I don't think we've done food before. Could you just give us a wee bit of background for the listeners, who you are, where you came from, and where you are? Moira?
No problem at all. My name's Moira Stalker and I work with the Scottish Food and Drink Federation to run a programme which aims to promote careers in the food and drink manufacturing sector by linking industry with schools and to help the teachers to deliver the curriculum but using food and drink as a context. My background's really quite varied. Right at the very beginning of my career, I actually studied textiles down in Gala Shields. And following that, I went to work for an organisation called Courtaulds on their graduate training programme. And I worked in industry for quite a few years as an industrial engineer. And then I moved on from that. When I moved back up to Scotland, I carried on in the textile industry, doing some work with Scottish Enterprise. I then moved on to work for ScotVic, which some of you might remember was a predecessor of SQA. And following that, again, I moved on, had a couple of other jobs in skills and training. And eventually, about 15 or 16 years ago, I got a 60-day contract with Scottish Enterprise to help to change the image of the food and drink industry. And since then, I've kind of been working in food and drink ever since, and helping to promote the industry and make it a more attractive place for people to work in, or promote that image anyway. The current role that I'm undertaking is, as I say, with the Scottish Food and Drink Federation, and the Federation is a trade body which represents the manufacturing side of the food industry. So that's the people who take produce, raw produce, be it a grown product or a meat product, and they process and add value to it to make products that you would see in the supermarket shelf. So biscuit manufacturers, soup manufacturers, ready meal manufacturers, they're the sort of people that we actually represent. So has that answered the first bit of the question?
Yeah, that's fantastic, Moira. And just to kind of say to everyone, so you're presently the National Coordinator of
that's
the Scottish
right.
Food and Drink Federation's Schools Programme. We're going to hear a lot about that in a moment. I'll just say for the benefit of listeners, as ever, if you are listening to the live show or indeed the podcast and you've got a comment to make on what you hear tonight from Moira, or if you've got a question, you can get in touch in two ways. You can email edutalker@hotmail.co.uk, that's edutalkr, or you can put something up on Twitter and include the hashtag edutalk. Now, something that might also be of interest to listeners is that if they go to the edutalk homepage, that's edutalk.cc, near the top of the page, it invites listeners to click for key links, and that gives some links to the school's programmes, etc., and lots of other resources that Moira suggested. So that's something that you might want to download while you're listening to the live show, the podcast, or visit and share among your colleagues afterwards. So Moira, tell us about the school's programmes that you're involved in and this initiative, A Future in Food.
Well, Future in Food, it's actually funded by Scottish Government, and it's one of a number of food education programmes funded by the Scottish Government. It actually ties into the national policy for food and drink. Within the policy, there is a statement which really says that we want every child in Scotland to understand where their food comes from and to understand what happens to the food before they eat it, because food is such an important part of your life. So the bit that we actually are involved with is trying to promote the skills required within the industry. The food and drink industry is actually the biggest manufacturing sector in Scotland and employs a really big number of people at a whole variety of different levels, from relatively unskilled through to very, very skilled. It doesn't have a terribly good image always. People tend to think of negative stories and they think of perhaps wellies and hair nets and white coats and processing factories. And actually, there is obviously an element of that within the food industry, but it also offers a massive diversity for career opportunity as well. And it employs people from, you know, there's HR professionals, there's admin, there's finance, there's scientists, there's engineers, and actually a lot of the shortages are within the STEM subjects, so that's the science, technology, engineering and maths, food scientists, food technologists, and it's actually skills, scientific and technological skills that are really in short supply in the industry, and these are the ones that we're trying to demonstrate in the project. So what we try and do is really make the industry, bring it to life really for the young people. What we want to do is to link schools with industry to design programs to help the teachers to deliver the curriculum. So it could be an interdisciplinary project, it could be to help a teacher deliver one subject. We've worked in primaries, so it's one class, one teacher working on a specific project. It's really all about how we can engage people from industry with education and use the expertise of those people to help the teacher to deliver the curriculum. So food is actually relevant across all sectors of the curriculum, so we design programs and approaches to suit individual partnerships, really. And what we hope is that by getting people from industry into the schools, the children get to speak to the people, they find out what they actually do, they also get a chance, hopefully, to visit the industrial site, find out about what actually goes on. It busts some of the myths, and they actually see why something like maths might be relevant or chemistry would be relevant. And it also allows them to engage with real people from industry and find out a wee bit more about what jobs actually exist. Because there's a lot of job titles out there that, you know, people probably haven't heard of and wouldn't maybe immediately think of when they're choosing a career. So by meeting people from industry, the young people can find out about that. And hopefully we develop partnerships that will last, develop and grow and add benefit for both the industry and for the school as well. And we can hopefully walk away and let the partnership flourish really at the end. Does that answer the question?
I think that answers quite a lot of questions, but obviously as well built up more. So if I sort of simplify that, one of the things you're doing is you're teaching pupils in school about food.
Yes.
And the other thing is about, is a sort of careers opportunity.
Absolutely, and about getting, yes.
There's two parts of it, and it's almost like maybe for some pupils, they start off thinking, oh, we're just learning this bit and pieces about food, but by doing that, you enable them to understand how complex it is and where there maybe is a career in there, yeah?
Absolutely, and also, and where the food comes from as well. Yeah. As I mentioned earlier on, we're one of a number of food education programmes, so some of the other programmes that are also funded by government include the Royal Highland Education Trust, and they host farm visits to enable people to go out to a farm to actually to see where food comes from. There's eco schools which deal with food in the environment. There's seafood in schools which encourages healthy eating and young people eating seafood, as well as quite a number of other ones. So obviously if we're working on a project, for example, Bathgate Academy are working with AK Stoddart on a particular project at the moment. So to enhance the pupils' understanding of where their food comes from, some of the pupils have been on a farm visit to see obviously the primary production. Some of them will also go to see the processing plant, and some of them are also going around a major retailer as well to find out what happens to the product as well. So by seeing that, they see the whole of the food chain and they get to see a whole variety of different jobs and identify some of the opportunities of where they could potentially go in the future as well, be it from the primary side right through to distribution and logistics and also to retail as well, as well as a bit in the middle, which is the manufacturing side.
So do you sort of specifically bring to the surface the careers opportunities if we're, say, learning about healthy eating or where our food comes from, the food chain, or maybe tying into eco schools and doing some ecology stuff. But you would also, during that process, you would bring the career opportunities up.
This project is very much focused on the career opportunities and identifying the skills. There's a number of other food education programs that deal with healthy eating. There's a cooking bus, for example, and there's chefs in schools and a number of other programs that deal with the healthy eating side of things. We're very much focused on letting young people know about what skills are required and the subjects that we need to study and the relevance of those subjects as well, and understanding what the manufacturing industry is all about as well. It's actually quite exciting, and it's very dynamic, and there's a lot involved. It's not just perhaps one person coming up with an idea. There's a whole team of people working on how that idea is actually developed and then scaled up, produced, packaged, marketed, and brought to the customer as well.
Moira, I'm wondering, you mentioned about how you feel that the programme or programmes go right across the new curriculum. I was at a workshop recently where various people in the community learning and development sector were kind of engaging. Some of them are new to the sector and are engaging for the first time with, for example, the different strands, the areas of the curriculum, and even the individual experiences and outcomes. And they were being encouraged when they're designing, say, youth work programmes and such like, or, you know, all the way through to going for funding opportunities, that they would be referencing key areas of the curriculum and the Curriculum for Excellence documentation. It seemed, from my visit to the kind of websites last week, it seems that you reference your programmes to Curriculum for Excellence in a slightly different way. Seems to be more kind of broad brush, more about getting across the idea that food goes right through each section or each strand of the curriculum.
Yes, we as a group, we've worked very closely with Education Scotland, and actually one of the web links I've sent should have the Education Scotland link. It's Food for Thought. They've developed quite a number of materials that highlight where food is relevant within the curriculum. So that's to encourage, there's a mind map and there's also a poster. So that's really to encourage teachers to have a look at that and to get ideas about where they could take working with food and drink in the curriculum. Our specific projects, if you look at the schools programme part of the Scottish Food and Drink Federation website, we actually identify in our specific projects. For example, there's one that we've developed, it's called Food Forensics, and that's very much focused on scientific analysis of food products, identifying, so that would be very much focused within the science department on identifying its different colourants in soft drinks. It's obviously a made-up project, but it's looking at soft drinks and how you would identify the rogue components. So that's very specific to one part of the curriculum. So yes, some of them are quite broad brush and very general, maybe more for, is it levels 2 and 3? Mm-hmm. And other ones are much more specific as well. Does that answer?
Yeah, no, I just think it's a really interesting approach, that it's not the kind of painting by numbers, for want of a better phrase, it's saying, here are the specific experiences and outcomes that by engaging with our programme, it will tick off. It seems to be more about getting the idea that it does go across so much that it's, it can be a key part of this broad general education.
Absolutely.
But to me, as a teacher, it still seems to leave me with the freedom to say, right, well, it'll fit into that particular part of my kind of year plan. And I quite like that approach, that it's still leaving a lot of the kind of control to the decision about kind of, as I say, fitting it within the different schemes of work to the actual individual teacher or school.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, we were told very early on, this programme's been running since 2010, when we started, and we were told very early on, because obviously we work, I'm talking about what I do and the Federation, what have you, but we work with a huge range of partners, and one of the partners is Education Scotland, and we were told very early on that, don't make it too specific. It's really, with the new curriculum, it's very much about the teacher and the pupils, obviously, as well, directing where it goes as well, but food is very applicable. So that's why in our programme as well, we take the approach, well, it's really up to the school and to the industry with me facilitating to agree how we take it forward, because you can't, I think what we realise now is there's no one-size-fits-all anymore. Mm-hmm. It's really, you know, how do you want to take this forward? What works best for you? And it has to suit all the partners as well, because the last thing we want to do is to make additional work for teachers. You know, we actually want to use this programme as a means of helping them and not actually adding to their workloads, because there's really no point in them doing it if it's just an add-on. It really has to fit in, and it has to be relevant to them, and it has to be useful to them as well.
John.
Oops, mic was off there. bit of professionalism. Always like to bring that. Maura, I've been looking through some of the case studies, and I wondered if you could maybe pick one or two out and just take us through some of the detail involved to give people a more of an idea about what might happen and how much input you would have, say, if somebody wants to take one of these ideas.
No problem. I mean, there's a number of different approaches that we've used. One of the ones that springs to mind immediately, because I'm working, is a current one, is Make It With Meat with Bathgate Academy. I've already referenced that one. We've got a number of partners involved in that. So, and we ran it last year, and we've developed it, obviously, with experience. We've developed it a wee bit more this year. So that's an interdisciplinary project for the whole of the S2 in Bathgate Academy. And we are working with the Royal Highland Education Trust, who are involved with that one as well. AK Stoddart is a main industry partner, and Quality Meat Scotland are also involved in that as well. And the project's been developed and designed within the technologies department of the school. So the pupils kicked off with a launch a few weeks ago, where all the partners came along, spoke to the pupils. I told them a wee bit about the industry. The teacher from the school introduced what they were going to be doing. AK Stoddart set the pupils a challenge. Quality Meat Scotland told them a little bit about red meat. And we also have a new partner this year as well, Tesco, who are taking the pupils to the distribution site and also around the store as well. So it kicked off with the launch. Obviously, all the partners had a number of planning meetings before that. So it kicked off with the launch for all the pupils. Pupils will then, over the next few weeks, work in groups and will take on specific job roles. They'll work in groups, they'll develop a new product, in addition to going on the visits to the farm, to the site, and also to the store and the distribution centre. They'll come up with new product ideas. They'll also design packaging and a marketing campaign for the product. During the process, we'll go back in, we'll give the pupils feedback on what they're doing. The staff from the company will give them official feedback. They'll do the full sensory evaluation of the product. There'll be an elimination. There'll be a few heats for the projects as well. So we'll get one product per class to go through to a final, and then a final product will be picked. So that's one model that we use, which is very good, and that works very well in an interdisciplinary approach, particularly with a secondary school. I've mentioned food forensics as well, so that was very much focused on the science department within a school, where we set that up with it was actually the public analyst laboratory, who do a lot of food testing and make sure that food is actually safe to eat, and we'll do, for example, again, when horse meat came out, they'll do testing of products and things. So we developed a program there called Food Forensics. Again, it was interdisciplinary, but we set it up like the public analyst would have to respond to a real case. So we gave the pupils a sealed bag of fizzy drinks that we weren't sure whether or not they were contaminated, so they had to go through the process of signing for the evidence, unsealing the bag, and then over a course of weeks they analysed the product, they wrote up the reports, and they made a presentation, which we did as a court case. So that was very good, and we did that very, very formally as well. So that was a good experience for them as well. Other people might take a slightly less large approach, so some schools are maybe more comfortable keeping it within a department. I know that Drumchapel High School are actually working with the Edrington Group, and the way that that particular project, that partnership works, is that the business studies teacher is delivering the curriculum for the higher and intermediate students. So she'll deliver the curriculum, and then the industry partner, who's from the finance side, comes in and supplements that by telling the pupils what it's like in the real world of work. So it really varies very much depending on what the school is looking for, how comfortable they are in going for a big year, you know, a whole year project, or do they just want to keep it within a class until they become comfortable with delivering it and getting to know the partners as well.
I mean, the project sounds great. I mean, obviously really deep, and there's strong links into the outside the classroom world. I'm just thinking, so Do you do a sort of facilitation? Say if I saw one of the, I was a primary school teacher, and I see one of these projects and I think I'd like to do that. Then would you become involved in the sort of facilitating the joining up with partners?
Or do you stay
involved?
It really depends. In an ideal world, I guess I shouldn't really exist. You know, these partnerships should evolve, but life doesn't work like that. So really, yes, basically my role is to support, if a school approaches me or a company approaches me, is really to act as a matching service between the two, to introduce them, to maybe talk them through, for example, some of the things that we've done in the past, give them ideas of what might work. Make sure that both parties are comfortable with, you know, working together, and that, you know, that they're quite committed to it as well, because it is a big commitment initially, and going forward as well. So my role is really to facilitate meetings, to make sure people come to meetings, to kind of give ideas, provide advice, also to identify other links as well, because I've also mentioned before as well, we've got a lot of good contacts with the other education programs and also with other stakeholders as well, so we can help to bring in other partners that can help to enhance the project as well. So I really kind of try and keep things on track as much as possible. Sometimes partnerships work incredibly well and I don't really have a role, and that's fabulous. Once you've done the introduction, the school and the company, off they go, and they work together. Other ones, you know, they need a bit more support, or they're very nice and they invite me along to all the meetings and things like that as well, and keep me involved in what's happening. But either way, it's really about what's most appropriate for the partners that are involved in it, but definitely here to help and also to find suitable partners for other people as well.
So I think David's just going to come in with another question. But
yeah, just before I do, I'll just say that...
Just before you do. I'm talking about that as well then.
Yeah. Right. I'll just remind folk, particularly if people have just joined the show, that they can get in touch with us in two ways. You can email edutalker@hotmail.co.uk, or you can use the hashtag edutalk on Twitter, and we've still got time to put any comments or questions to Moira Stalker from the Scottish Food and Drink Federation, who's our guest this evening. Moira, I'm just going back to the Food and Drink Federation website. It's a real treasure trove of resources, and you know, we've mentioned about the case studies, you've picked one or two out. Just a couple of questions then about the website. I mean, firstly, the case studies are very interesting, and I'm just wondering what you feel the purpose of the case studies are. You know, could teachers go in and kind of replicate, or you know, projects that have gone before? Is it an invitation to contact the companies that have been involved, or is it more about kind of just sparking ideas for the future? I'll just quickly say, I'm an awful one for getting two questions and two for the price of one, but the resources section looks absolutely fascinating as well. And I just wonder, you know, again, is it about teachers who maybe are lacking maybe connections to start off with, maybe they can go in there and that helps them to get started?
Absolutely. We wrote the case study really to show people, it's just building on what the program's really all about. It's just to show people what we've done, that you might want to think about doing, you know, doing something similar. Please look at these case studies. All the resources that we have included as part of the case studies, we ask people when we when we set up in this programme, because obviously, you know, it's government funded, so it should all be publicly available, anything that we do. So we always ask people if they mind us sharing that information. So it's all free to use for anyone else. And it's really all about sparking ideas, and somebody may want to replicate it. They might even be able to do it better, and they probably can, and in which case we would encourage them to get in touch with us and send us their materials, and we'll share it. It tends to be, if there's a partnership established, the schools and the company, it tends to be a local partnership, so they tend to work together. I guess if there was another school that was local to the company, they could either approach that company through myself or go directly to them and ask them if they'd like to be involved, or they could approach us and say, you know, could you find us a company? And we certainly do our best. We can't guarantee always to find a company, but we can certainly try our best to do it. I think that answered everything you asked. But maybe it didn't.
No, absolutely. John? He switched his mic off again.
Hopefully it's not
disappeared completely. No, that's great. So what you're saying is then, you know, after tonight's show, if somebody feels that this would be a really interesting development or enrichment of their curriculum, then they really should contact yourself as the school's coordinator in the first instance.
Absolutely. I mean, they're free, obviously free to do anything that they want, you know, with the materials. If they want to just use the materials in the classroom initially, maybe not get an industry partner involved, if they just want to maybe do some small activities or whatever themselves, that's absolutely fine. But if they want to try and get a partner, we'll certainly help them try and get a partner. As I say, I don't want to create a massive demand because
like
inundated. We definitely do try and match people up. It doesn't always work, and we're actually trying to develop some resources at the moment which are very nearly ready, that kind of could be used as standalone resources to run a whole interdisciplinary challenge, or could be used as kind of bite-sized chunks to suit people, especially if they don't have a partner. We've tried to develop a package that gives as much information but still giving the teachers the freedom to go their own way in the classroom.
Mm-hmm. Moira, sorry, David.
Yes, uh-huh.
I'm just interested in the sort of the history that you've had of organising these. After that, do you get the teachers taken on the next year and the next year with the same partners, so that you can sort of step back and start lighting some more sparks elsewhere?
That's right. We definitely encourage that, because what we try and do is get local companies linked up with local schools, because it's obviously going to be a partnership that works. It works much better if people have got a vested interest in working within the local community, really, as well. So that's exactly what we try and do. We make the introductions, we encourage them to work together, then hopefully we can step back, let that develop, and hopefully keep in touch with it as well. But then we're, you know, move on to work with other partnerships as well. We also, when we're running a partnership, we do try and evaluate it. We always say we would try and write case studies up about some of the partnerships if it's appropriate, and we also evaluate it at the end as well to try and see what difference we've made to people's perceptions about the food industry, and has it changed some of their perceptions, or would they think about working in the industry as well?
So do you do that just with quizzes or questionnaires, or just with discussion, or...?
A wee bit of both, actually. I mean, I try and get into the schools and speak to the pupils as much as possible, you know, when I possibly can, and get feedback from the teachers, but it tends to be more sort of questionnaires. And I'm now trying to do it through SurveyMonkey as well, just to make it a wee bit easier, because you can spend a long time analysing questionnaires afterwards. So I'm trying to be a wee bit more clever about it myself. But we do try and analyse the differences, you know, that we've made as well.
Yeah, because it seems to be in education... It's very difficult to evaluate something, because
that's
you can't
right.
do, you know, a double-blind fair test or anything like that. Your children are maybe doing that when they're analysing their food, but when we're trying to evaluate how well they've done,
absolutely,
I think professional judgment's got to go for a large part of it. Would you say?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we do always ask the teachers as well. And a large part of it, I mean, we're one part of a much bigger programme as well. So we hope that all the different influences that the pupils have will make some impact on them. Obviously, not everyone that goes to one of our schools' programme is going to want to go into the industry. But even if we help to dispel some of the myths, and they have a better opinion of it, and they understand it a wee bit better, then I think we've achieved an awful lot. But no, you're right. It's very hard to say that one thing in isolation's actually made a big difference. It's the whole, isn't it? It's the whole package, isn't it?
And Moira, you were talking earlier on about the career opportunities, and you mentioned the kind of STEM subjects and the importance of the young people going back into their schools and mm-hmm. making a really good attempt to be sort of working towards qualifications in those areas because mm-hmm. of the kind of lifelong learning opportunities and the career mm-hmm. opportunities that's bound to lead to in the present climate. So, I mean, can you say a bit more about what kind of specific jobs are out there at the moment that might be kind of new to the industry, maybe something that... a careers or a college linked teacher in a school might not have heard of, or you know, can you say a bit more about what specific shortages there are at the moment in the food and drink industry?
Absolutely. The majority of shortages within the industry, well, also it's an ageing industry as well, so there's also a need not just for new jobs but also for replacement jobs as well, because that's not uncommon to food and drink. So we need to replace people. The majority of the skill shortages that we suffer from are in the scientific and technical areas. In common with quite a number of other industries, there's a big shortage of engineers, and there's actually, the Food and Drink Federation has been involved in developing a new food engineer degree as well, which is delivered south of the border at Sheffield Hallam University. So, because I think one of the things that people don't necessarily understand about the food and drink industry is it's very heavily based, it's very technical, and there's an awful lot of very technical, highly specific and bespoke machinery involved in the food and drink industry. So engineering is crucial to a very effective and a very successful food and drink industry as well. So engineers, and there's a lot of opportunities for young people to go through apprenticeships in the food and drink industry. Quite a number of companies do actually employ apprentices. The other scientific and technical shortages are people like food technologists and food scientists. So these are the sort of people that would come up with new product ideas. And it's really, when they're coming up with a new product idea, it's understanding the chemistry of food, understanding what components, what happens to food as it's being processed, you know, what changes is it going to go through, because obviously a finished product has to look good. The first thing is it has to look appealing, so the quality can't be affected as it's being processed. It also has to taste nice, it has to be safe to eat, it has to fulfill an awful lot of consumer requirements. So a food technologist understands the science and the chemistry of the food, what happens to it as it's going through all the processing, what's happening to it as it's being packed and distributed before we actually eat it. So that's why the science is so important, because you have to understand basically the different chemical reactions that are happening to your food. Obviously, biology and microbiology are very important as well, making sure that food is very, very safe to eat as well, and that any processes that it goes through are safe to eat too. So they're the sort of areas where we really want to encourage more young people to think about a career in the industry. But that, not only in the development side of things, it leads to a very good career. Having an understanding of those skills and knowing the technology of the food and the science behind your food can also lead into other areas as well, because to be able to go and buy products or to sell products, if you understand how they're processed, how they're made up, can lead to that as well. So, you know, you could source your coffee beans from South America. You could source your fruit products from Central America. Food also takes you all over the world as well. And understanding what happens to it and the requirements of the consumer and the processing will add to that.
There's a ton there, and there's obviously a job for everyone, whatever interest you've got.
That's what we're trying to get across.
Uh-huh. A job in food. If you were working with schools who had pupils mm-hmm. who were maybe in fourth, fifth, and sixth year, and uh-huh. were either thinking of, you know, starting a career, an apprenticeship, or mm-hmm. thinking about university, do you provide material for them?
Yes, we've got
projects so that they can. Yeah.
We do, obviously. I mean, we've got obviously links with colleges and universities as well, so we've got links to those colleagues too. The advice that we tend to give is, I couldn't give, you know, I wouldn't want to give very specific advice, but I was saying, if somebody was interested in getting into the sort of science and technology of food, then I would tell them, you know, the, obviously the subjects of study would be chemistry, biology, physics. They're obviously the really good ones. Maths is also very important as well, but obviously other subjects like English are crucial, because communication skills are really important, and languages as well, because food is global, you know, so if you've got languages as well, that's always going to help too.
Yeah, I can't, but now when you start thinking about it, I can't think of a subject that you couldn't see tie in, you know,
no.
Could tie into
packaging design.
And so on and so forth, you know, it's hard to imagine a subject that wouldn't happen in, or an interest you have.
Absolutely. I mean, RME, you could look at different, you know, different faiths, why they eat particular foods. You could look at the free-from market. You can look at ethical trading, so looking at the supply chain as well, because that's very important within the industry as well. You know, it's not just about who you employ and your own work practices. It's very important within the food and drink industry to look down the supply chain as well. So where you're buying your products from, are they an ethical company as well? Do they treat the staff well? Where do they source the products from? So it's a whole supply chain thing as well, and that's also crucial as well. So it can, it really can fit into all of the different subjects.
So whatever we want to teach, we should get in touch with Moira straight away, folks. Flood her inbox with her.
No, please don't. Busy enough as it is.
Yeah, I mean that's obviously a constraint, but
yeah.
I wonder, do you think if people looked at the case studies, or do you have any sort of hints if for instance you are quite busy, there's obviously you've got a lot of skills in putting this, especially making the contact and I presume translating a bit between educators and people in the industry.
That's right. Yes, you do. I mean, the other program that we also run within SFDF as well is that we have a food and drink ambassadors program, and again, that's linked into the STEMnet ambassadors program too, which people might be familiar with. So we're trying to build up a network of ambassadors that would also help schools as well. So perhaps a school doesn't maybe want to go right down the route of running a schools program. We would maybe try and get somebody out to do a careers talk for them, or come and speak to the pupils or something as well, because we're trying to build up a bigger bank of ambassadors to go out as well, so that might be something that we could help with as well, because I appreciate that this year in particular has been a terribly busy year in schools, and teachers are quite overwhelmed with all the changes that are happening, so something smaller scale might also be more appropriate for them as well.
Well, I think that some of our secondary schools especially have taken on a lot of cross-curricular topics, you know, that actually go into different classes, and you can see that a lot of this could fit in quite nicely there, and it might be, rather than be it one more thing, it'll be, this will help me do one of the things I have to do.
Absolutely.
It's an opportunity to have some help in that first dive in at cross-curricular working, at getting other sectors and things involved, so yeah. I suspect you're going to be quite busy for the next
I think we've been busy for years, because we worked at my school.
Yes, we must confess.
The young people had a fantastic experience, you know. They still ask when they're getting a chance to go to the local bakery, but
really, oh, that's good.
It's definitely something we'll need to revisit, and, you know, just having their key workers and maybe people from their family coming, you know, to the particular challenge that we had at the school, where it was to design a kind of lunch product, a meat-based lunch product, and you know, when they were doing their stalls and their presentations at the end of the, I think it was almost a whole week that they were off timetable working. It was memorable, it's something I really do need to make an effort to try and start up again.
David.
but you know, we're focusing so much on our work with skills development. Scotland and making sure, you know, the absolutely incredible work that's going on to ensure positive transitions and destinations after S4 and S5. But I think after tonight, I'm going to just take a little bit of a change the focus slightly. To get something set up for our younger secondary pupils.
Good.
And I'll also say that we've got, I need to read this first, we've got Caroline Braley's a teacher up in Shetland, and she's been listening into the live show. She's just saying she's finding it absolutely fascinating listening to you, Moira.
Oh, brilliant, that's good.
She's saying that Food for Thought funding round two is now open, and she's asking you, Moira, if you're working with anyone who is funding from round one.
Yes, I am. There's a number of my schools that have got funding from round one. My mind is going blank as we speak, but some of the partnerships, Cardinal Newman High School in Bells Hill, they've got funding. They're working with Warburton's, and they're doing a Commonwealth cafe. The work that they're doing is building up to, they're doing an interdisciplinary project working with Warburton's products to come up with a product for an athlete. Wade Academy through in Fife are also, they've also got Food for Thought funding, and of course I've forgotten all the other ones that've got it as well, but yes, I am working with them, and I'm actively encouraging quite a few schools that I've been working with as well to apply for it again this year, because I think it can really enhance what you do, and it can help to bring in more people to help it as well, because it's got a very community focus as well, and it can also help to buy more materials and equipment and provide CPD as well, I believe, although you may be better check that one, to support, you know, what the schools can actually offer. So yes, I would encourage people to apply for that funding.
Do you want any final thoughts before we absolutely, it's great. Again, I'll say, you know, people listening to the podcast, if you just go to edutalks.cc, you'll get to listen again to Moira's show, and there'll be a link to a file on Dropbox which has got these four or five key links that Moira's kindly provided. John, just before we wrap up and mention a couple of forthcoming shows, any final thoughts or questions for Moira?
I don't think I have any more questions, Moira. You've answered a lot of them, and anything else I think would be for people to go away and have a look and have a think.
Absolutely, and they can contact me on the website. Yeah,
tons of food for about this, and about having this idea of a future in food is really interesting, because it's really interesting, because I think obviously people are going to have to keep eating, and being,
it's not going away,
in that market is possibly a nice idea, and the fact that we've got now the idea that it's not just about baking or frying things or something like that, there's this whole range of careers right across the spectrum sitting behind it. So I think that's been a really great piece of information.
Well, thank you very much for asking me along. It's been great to speak to you, and of course now that it's nearly winding up, I'm thinking of all the other examples I could have used.
I think we've got the idea that there's a great wealth of practice already out there, and there's a ton of help available for people if they're interested in getting something off the ground, and certainly you've given enough information for people to, you know, pick this up if they're interested and get in touch. So thank you very much.
My pleasure, thank you so much,
Moira,
and all the best.
Thank you. Okay, okay,
I'll be hearing from you, David.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. You will. You can. The whole of Scotland can hold me to that.
No problem.
Yeah. So, thanks again, Moira. And I'll just wrap up by saying to everyone, thanks again for listening and supporting Radio Edutalk, and the forthcoming shows we've got tomorrow evening at slightly odd time of 6:45 PM. We've got Gert Lenhart, who's the CEO of the Futures Agency, is going to be giving our first EduTalk keynote, and that's on entitled "The Future of Knowledge, Learning, and Work." And you just go through the usual channels to listen to that keynote live or to the podcast. And then next Wednesday, John, we've got Derek Robertson, who's well known to many across Scottish education, is now a lecturer at the University of Dundee, and what's Derek going to be talking to us about?
I'm not actually sure. I mean, Derek could talk for Scotland about lots of different things. He's obviously got a strong background in games-based learning, and he's just returned to teacher education. So there's all sorts of things we'll be able to dip into with Derek. So I'm really looking forward to that one. And the day after that, Professional Learning for Teachers again, you get Claire Bryden as an English teacher at Oban High.
Absolutely, David, and Claire was somebody who went through a charter teacher programme around the same time as myself back in the day, so it'll be interesting to hear about her reflections on master's level study and the work that she did and is doing within her school. Just for people's information, I think we're fully booked right up until almost the end of March. So Wednesday, Thursday, right the way through, and lots more shows booked in for the rest of the first half of 2014. So it's exciting times. I'll leave it at that for tonight, John.
No rest for the wicked. Yeah. Okay, so I'll just hang up, say goodnight everybody, and hopefully we'll listen to your Gear Us next week or next time. Cheers.